I have a unique privilege today to introduce to you a personal friend who the Lord has given me a friendship with for really many years. I met Pastor Andy Haney back, I think, in 1996 when I was serving on the staff and on the administration of a small Bible college up in northern Wisconsin, Northern Baptist Bible College. And that began a friendship that year that has continued unto this day. And this past year, Pastor Andrew came and became the pastor of the church where my family and I are members. So I learned something very, very important. As a teacher, you've got to be really, really nice to all of your students because you don't know whether one of them is going to end up being your pastor one day. And you do not want to get churched out of your church because you were mean to your student. So I'm thankful for Pastor Andrew and the friendship that we've had, but I've been even more blessed in the last year as our family has thrived under his ministry. And he has blessed our family and our church with wonderful preaching and with gracious care and compassion. And so one of the things I really wanted to do this semester is I wanted him to come and I wanted you to have an opportunity to know him. He loves young people. He loves the Lord. He loves the ministry. He's passionate about the Word of God, and I know that we're in for not just a treat today, but we're in for a ministry that's going to affect our souls. So you give your heart and your attention to the Word today. Pastor Andrew, you come.
Well, please take your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Dr. Horn is right. I do love young people. I love college students. In fact, as I look around the room, I see some of the folks who are a part of Calvary Baptist Church. And I care for you deeply. And it has been a privilege to know the Horns. What he didn't tell you was that because of Dr. Horn and his wife, I actually married the woman that I did. And he brought a girl up to Northland Baptist Bible College who had just graduated from Bob Jones. And he needed a secretary, and so he brought her up, and it was during that period of time as she was working there and I was getting a master's at Northland that I was introduced to my wife Vivian, and then we ended up getting married. And so I owe him a tremendous amount, because if that had never happened, I don't know where my life would be today. And God has blessed us with 5 children, and we are so thankful to be serving the Lord here in the Simpsonville area at Calvary Baptist Church. The theme I was given for the day was serving the Lord in your local church. And as you look at the theme of the high calling of serving God, I was very thankful that this was the topic I was given because for me, serving the Lord in the local church is the center of what I believe all believers and followers of Christ should be thinking in regards to their service and the high calling of service to the Lord. Unfortunately, over the last few decades, the idea of the local church has really diminished in as far as importance in the lives of people. And I hear all kinds of comments from time to time from people who would claim to be a follower of Christ, but not connected to a local church. And their view of the local church is really bad in most cases. And that's because of all kinds of things. You know, you hear the typical, well, in the church, all you find is hypocrites. And what my response to that is, absolutely. The church is full of hypocrites because the church is full of sinners, and we're all hypocritical on some level. And so that's not a very good reason for me or for anyone else to say, you know what, I'm going to kind of disengage from a local church. I'm not going to be part. I'm just going to do this religious thing with my relationship with Christ on my own. Sometimes people are hurt because of leadership. And I want to just say that I'm sure in a group like this that some of you have grown up in churches and you personally have been hurt by pastors or Christian leaders. And I want to just tell you that I am sorry for that. And I apologize for pastors on many occasions because many times we get it wrong. And sometimes people can really get hurt and their view of the local church can be shattered because of the poor choices of leadership. I was meeting with a family that's thinking about joining our church a couple weeks ago. And in the wife's life, she's been to 4 churches. Calvary's the 4th one. And the track record so far was that the first church that she spent a good amount of time in, the pastor ended up having moral failure and quit the ministry. The second church she was part of, the same thing happened, another moral failure, and the pastor quit the ministry. And the third church, the pastor embezzled money. And so now she's coming to Calvary, and so we have all these bags that we come with the experiences and times of hurt and hardship in regards to local church. And then we're told, you should really love the church. It's a really good thing. And yet we have these bags and these experiences that are really personal to us, and they're difficult to get over because of everything that we've experienced. And so I want to this morning just kind of encourage you that the local church is at the center of what God is doing. In this time and age, the local church is at the center of the work of God. And if it is at the center, then it should mean something to us. And the book of Ephesians gives an overview of how crucial the local church is. And I want to just kind of walk through that and give you four reasons why I believe this is the case, because today people have such a small view of the church, and I believe we should come to the church with a very God-centered approach. 1 Timothy tells us that it is the household of God. It is God's dwelling place, the local church. And if that's the case, if God owns it, then it should be the center of what we think, and God should be the center of how we operate within a local church. These thoughts were really ingrained in my heart, and God used them in an amazing way when I went to seminary and in the church that I was able to be a part of, because there was such a strong emphasis on the local church. And it's in such a contrast to what we see around us today in Christianity. So many times there's a man-centered approach to thinking about the church. One writer has talked about unbiblical attitudes in regards to the local church. And one would be just a real me-centered approach to church. And I don't know how you view the church, but the temptation is for us to be consumers, right? We want to get something out of church. And so that's kind of our motto. And we ask ourselves, what is in it for me? And the attitude runs really, really clear and deep within people who have been raised kind of from an entitlement perspective. And entitlement encourages those people to really be convinced that it's all about them. And so they think about receiving rather than contributing. I would say another me-centered approach would be to really kind of be a spectator in regards to church. Spectator Christianity, it feeds on the delusion that virtue can come through viewing. We view sports from a spectator perspective. And spectator Christianity produces the same thing. We're fans and we cheer on people while they themselves really are desperate and in need of being a part and engaged. I would suggest as well another me-centered approach is what one person has called drive-through Christianity. The nice thing about a drive-through restaurant is that you can get what you want with a minimum amount of time, with no effort, than just the turn of your steering wheel. But the tragic result in a drive-through nation is that many people are overweight, unfit, and addicted to fast food. So it is with drive-through Christians who get their church fix out of the way by attending a church service. Of course, there is an unhappy price extracted over time in the habits and arteries of a flabby soul. And a family that is unfit for the battle of life has no conception of being Christian soldiers in the spiritual battle. All of these, what I would say, would be under that me-centered approach. What can I get out of church? What kind of programs do they have? What kind of social interaction? How am I going to feel? What can the church do for me? And this attitude is pervasive in Christianity today, and it ruins the health of a church. We should approach God's precious possession, the church, with a God-centered attitude instead of what can I get out of it? What can I give toward it? Another really dangerous attitude I have found in church life is that of an independent attitude, where someone can go to church because they know that that's what they're supposed to do, but they're careful to get too involved, especially with people. And so people come in, they smile and they wave at a few folks and they feel good about that. And then they go home with really no investment of themselves and other people. It's a relationless Christianity. And God designed the church to be a family. It's the family of God. And so it is wrong for us to say, you know what, I'm just going to kind of pick and choose how I get involved and who I'm going to interact with. And really, I'm going to connect with people who are like me. You know, the church is the most unique organization. People gather together for all kinds of social type things. You have those who love Star Wars, and so there's groups that gather around Star Wars, and they have these huge conventions, and they're crazy if you've ever seen them or been a part. And some people, you know, gather around knitting. There's you know, people who have knitting organizations, and the list could go on and on. Bird watching. People gather for all kinds of reasons around their particular interests. The church is not like that. We're gathered around a person, the person of Jesus Christ. And so in a church like Calvary Baptist Church, you have this massive amount of people who would never gather together in any other place in our society. But because of Jesus Christ, because of a person, we're all there together. And God wants us to engage and interact with one another for His glory because it's about Him. It's not about us. And so a very self-centered, independent attitude towards the local church is very dangerous. And the last thing I would say is a very wrong attitude and approach to the local church would be a critical type approach to the local church. This person is very short on allegiance. He is quick to find fault, and he will always have something to say about it. And someone who is very critical, they're like a hitchhiker. The hitchhiker says, you buy the car, you pay for the repairs, you do the upkeep and the insurance, you fill up the gas, and I'll be there for the ride. But if you have an accident, you're on your own. So many times, we see people who really don't want to be involved, and they let everyone else go to the meetings, and they let everybody else serve and take care of it that way. But as soon as they don't like something, they're the first ones who want to share their perspective. A very critical, me-centered attitude is dangerous for the life of a local church. And I share these things because this is what we see on a regular basis in the life of a local church. And people need to be challenged with these kinds of attitudes so that they can understand and change. And I'm talking to a group of people who love ministry and want to serve the Lord with their lives. At least at this particular point in your life, you have some sort of interest, whether that's pastoral ministry, or I'm sure many are interested in missions, and then all other kinds of ways where you'll be involved in full-time Christian service. And let me encourage you not to be influenced. And as you begin your training or your ministry life, don't live life like this in the local church. Start out from the very perspective, understanding what God says about His church, His family. And when you're tempted to think, really, that life is about you in regards to the local church, put that aside and remember it's about one person. It's about Jesus and His glory forever and ever. And so therefore, it doesn't matter what we like or what we can get out of it. We see the value and we care. And we engage in it because that is what God asks us to do. Now, I want to look at four things here in Ephesians chapter 3. And these are just general overviews. If you look in chapter 3, in verses 8 through 11, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Number one, God has provided the church with an important role in his ministry program. God has provided the church an important role in his ministry program. This verse, in verse 11, it tells us, according to the eternal purpose of God. So from the beginning, we have that the church was placed in a very crucial spot in God's ministry program. And that place was that he would reveal the mystery of the gospel, and the manifold wisdom of God would be revealed to the church. And that was in God's heart way before any of the disciples came along, before Moses, before Adam and Eve. It says, according to the eternal purposes, God had the church in mind. This is very, very important. It plays a very crucial role in the glorious program of God. Jesus himself said, I will build my church. And I know that there are so many options as far as ministry goes for you folks as you look to the future. But can I encourage you, no matter where the Lord directs you in full-time Christian service, will you view the local church as the center? Because that's what Jesus said he would be focused on building. There are wonderful things, and I love all of them. There's Christian colleges, there's Christian camps, there's all kinds of parachurch organizations, and all of these things are wonderful. But God didn't say he would build those things. He said he would build his church. And so I know that the temptation is, even with the idea of full-time Christian ministry, that we cannot keep the church in view. I know people who have been a part of full-time Christian work and ministry for years and years and years, even in organizations like this. And they don't view the church correctly. They view like this is kind of their church. And they can spend their whole life serving God and miss the center of what God is doing. And I know that's probably a harsh thing to say, even in a Christian college chapel. But I want to say it because it's what God intends for us to understand. It's about the church. And all the other things are wonderful, and I support them wholeheartedly. But as you think about ministry in whatever capacity, would you keep this church as the center? It plays an important role in the ministry program of God. Number two, God has provided the church with gifts through the Spirit. Chapter 4, would you go there, please? Chapter 4 and verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And then verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This is a local church book. This is a local church passage. And God clearly communicates that each person has been gifted at salvation. There were gifts given to serve God, and he has given those gifts to the church. Yes, they can be used in all kinds of other ways, but they must primarily be used inside the church. 1 Peter 4, chapter 10 says, as each one has received a gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If you want to be good stewards of the gifts that God has given you, my friend, serve God's church passionately. It plays an important role in God's ministerial program. And each one of us play an important role. I try to say all the time at Calvary, every person is important. It is not about positions. We don't care about positions. Because this text in verse 16 says, every joint brings something to the table. Every part of the body is crucial. And so to live with an independent spirit saying, yeah, no, I'm just not going to get engaged. I'm going to kind of come in and do my thing and partake and be a consumer, that I'm not going to engage. You know what? You're hindering the body. And even when you're in training here at Bob Jones University, you can be a crucial part of a local church. And so I hope it's not just something that you're required to do and you just kind of view it on Sunday morning as, well, I got to go try to check this off my list. No, view the church in a bigger way, a greater way. View it from a God-centered perspective. He cares so much for his church. And I would say number three, and hopefully this is an encouragement for those who have been hurt deeply by leadership, God has provided the church with the perfect leader. Now, I know sometimes in churches, you can have leaders who think they are the ultimate. And you can have pastors who want the world to revolve around them. But this particular text says the world and local church revolves around Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." Christ is the head of the church. Colossians 1 also confirms that the glory of the church is seen in the glory of Christ, her head. He is the supreme. He is overall. So you have this organization where you have the very perfect leader. There's not any other organization across this country or across the world who can say they have a perfect leader. But the local church, the church of God, the household of God, God has given his son to be the head. And so when you think about leading a church someday, some of you men who have that desire, would you understand at an early age, it is not about you. It is about Jesus Christ. He is the great shepherd. Any other leader in the church is just an under shepherd. And we have a great responsibility to care for God's people in such a way that communicates that he is the head. And so again, I tell you, I am sorry if you have been hurt, but don't give up on the church, because the ultimate leader, Jesus Christ, he is perfect. And no matter what you've seen, no matter what you've witnessed, no matter what you've experienced, the church is still his. And so be confident in his leadership and in his care, because he does love and he does sanctify and he does nourish. And that's what the rest of this passage says in Ephesians 5, which is number four. God has provided the church with the benefit of enjoying salvation together. In chapter 5 here, as we continue on, it says in verse 24, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church." So many times when I hear people talk about salvation, they view it and they talk about it as such, from such an individual perspective. And while I completely agree biblically that it is personal relationship with Jesus Christ, this text tells us that Jesus gave himself for the church. So yes, he gave himself for you individually, but as well, he gave himself up for the church. And the purpose of that was that he might present to himself a bride. And so we don't think about life in the local church from an individual perspective. We enjoy the benefit of salvation together. And through this process of Jesus giving himself, it says that he nourishes and he sanctifies. He makes the church holy, and we participate together with the giftedness that God has given. And it's this glorious part of the ministry program of God. So how can we view it lightly? How can we view the local church from a me-centered approach? If you really understand the book of Ephesians and all throughout the New Testament, it shouldn't be in the life of a believer. And I know that at a young age, you're trying to figure everything out, what God has for you, and you really have genuine good desires. Can I tell you, let the Word of God dictate your perspective on the local church. Not what other voices say, not what you've experienced, not what you feel about it. So many times we operate based on our feelings, and so Sunday morning you get up and I don't really feel like going, and you go to church with that perspective instead of letting the truth really renew your mind and let the truth dictate how you view things. Or you go to church and say, you know what, I'm part of something bigger than myself. This is the glory of God. Invisible form, and Jesus is the head, and I have a role that I can play because God has gifted me, and He can use me for His glory. Go with that perspective on Sundays. Imagine what your experience would be if that's how we went to church every day. But so many times it's, well, what can I get today? And sometimes we choose churches based on really what we can get out of it. And so we say, oh, I want to go here because I like their music. Or I want to go here because they have this program that I like. And while those are the benefits and those are wonderful things that we can enjoy in the life of local church, I think God's calling us to think bigger about it. God's glory is the motivation and measurement for success. That's a God-centered approach to ministry and life in the local church. And so it's about His glory from beginning to end. And even as young people, believe it. It's truth. And let your beliefs then flow into your actions. And your feelings will come, and those will come appropriately so. But love the church. It is at the center of what God is doing in this time and place. And so serve the Lord with passion in His church. Let's pray together. Father, would you take your word in these few moments that we've had together and encourage this younger generation that is passionate about you, but help them to understand that you love the church so much, and it should be in the center of their thoughts as they consider life and ministry. God, I pray that you would stir up in these young people a desire to serve your church with the gifts that you have given them for many, many years to come. Jesus, thank you that you are the great shepherd, and you are perfect in any way, and so we trust you that this is your plan for our lives. In your holy and precious name I pray. Amen.